Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you listening and joining us today. Ed Battagliano co-hosting with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman with us as well. Walker's handling our social media. What our world of social media, our empire that we control, Walker. What would that consist of?
It's not as big as Trump's social media empire.
It's not?
No.
Well, then you're fired. So what do we need to do? We need to aspire to Donald Trump's
Our listeners need to give our Facebook page more attention, and that is the Today's Issues Facebook page.
More love?
More love. You can watch the show there. You can read all of the news articles that we talk about here on the Today's Issues Facebook page, or you can go to AFR.net and listen live.
Okay, so, again, this is something new we've been doing for about a month now. All the stories that we talk about here on Today's Issues, mm-hmm. we're going to post on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Yes.
And then we live audio video stream.
Correct.
At what's called Facebook Live.
Yes.
Okay.
And if our listeners say, well, Walker, I don't have a Facebook account, well, that's fine. You can go to AFR.net and listen to the shows live there, or you can listen to the past shows there.
Okay. All right. Again, hope you had a great weekend, folks. And, with this new administration coming in, the Donald Trump administration, the Trump-Pence team, they're making announcements almost every two or three days on the cabinet level of positions. And Fred Jackson is here with us from American Family News. Do we have a new one yet?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like a broken record, but like Donald Trump is making news every day for what he says or tweets and the latest is now, according to Fox News, this has been firmed up that the CEO of ExxonMobil, Rex Tillerson, now that he's not been a family name, around that we've heard of, but Rex Tillerson apparently. In the next couple of days, the Trump people will announce that he is going to be the new Secretary of State. And so that is making news because, he's a multimillionaire, as you can imagine, being CEO of ExxonMobil. But also, his critics already are coming out. And amongst the critics are people like John McCain. And they're saying because ExxonMobil is the largest oil company in the world, and he has dealings with countries like Yemen and Russia. And that's a problem for a lot of people, his dealings with Russia. I guess he's probably had meetings with Vladimir Putin. And people say, well, because of that, because of his business dealings with Vladimir Putin, that puts him in a kind of almost conflict of interest right away if he does become Secretary of State. So that is making news.
Can't hold that view if you supported Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
That's
if you
right.
supported Hillary Clinton, you're going to have to say, what pay to play? what are you talking about? Of course, this is coming. Is it a criticism from John McCain, the senator from Arizona, or is it just questioning? How is it being?
Well, basically what he's saying, and it's not only John McCain, it's Lindsey Graham, South Carolina, joining Democrats in seeking bipartisan investigation into the Kremlin's activity during the election. That's another part of this story. But they're also expressing concern about Tillerson. Here's what McCain had to say. It's a matter of concern to me that he has such a close personal relationship with Vladimir Putin. And obviously, they've done enormous deals together. Now, Trump is responding to this very quickly. McCain said that, I think, in an interview with 60 Minutes on the weekend. Trump has responded to that saying, wait a minute, I think it's a real asset that he's been making these deals, that he's been involved with business deals with world leaders all over the world. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's a liability? It's an asset. He knows these people. He knows how they operate. And if he's had a business relationship with them, this can help.
You know what? If the concern is that this gentleman, the CEO of
Mr. Tillerson,
mm-hmm. ExxonMobil, if the concern is that because he has been in business, therefore he might view this job as a chance to advance his business interest while serving as Secretary of State, that would be a legitimate concern with some other person, maybe. Mm-hmm. With this fella here, Mr. Tillerson, he's already paid for his house. Okay? Now, he's made so much money, he doesn't need any more money for the job. That's number one. Mm-hmm. And so the incentive to make yourself wealthy, Ed, off your position as Secretary of State because you were with Chairman of ExxonMobil, the incentive is just not there. Secondly, I tend to agree with Trump, and that is this is an advantage. Probably no other person in the country knows as many world leaders as this fellow does, and he doesn't have to develop a personal relationship with them. He already has one. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and I don't know much about Tillerson, and a lot of us are scrambling to catch up. I would say this: I have no problem at all with a businessman who has made deals in Russia, not deals right. with Russia, kind of under the table thing that sometimes is implied. I mean, we've made business deals with China, with Iran. I mean, it's
Cuba.
Cuba. Yeah, you have a brutal dictator that President Obama has normalized trade relations mm-hmm. with that country, you know, that may not technically still be under Fidel Castro's control. But so I don't have a problem with that. Now, I did have a question when I first heard about this guy, Tillerson, because I thought, what a businessman, he needs to have some foreign policy experience. But if he has done business in 50 different countries, I look at that in lieu of what you'd normally expect a professional politician mm-hmm. to have in terms of foreign policy experience. The Secretary of State has to be able to make deals with people, but mostly he or she, but in this case it would be a he if Tillerson is selected and confirmed, they need to be able to express the president's foreign policy, mm-hmm. and that's what the Secretary of State does. Right. Has to be able to explain it. Has to be able to try to, to make sure our allies, are on the same page. Or that's what the Secretary of State does. He doesn't have to formulate foreign policy. He just has to understand the foreign policy of mm-hmm. the president who hired him.
Right.
And so I would be okay with Tillerson. I don't have a problem with the deals with Russia. And if he's that experience around the world and knows the cultures of these countries and knows some of the leaders, I'm good with that.
If Tillerson opens a foundation a month after he's nominated by the Senate or confirmed by the Senate, opens up a foundation, a family foundation, and his wife runs it and he's on the board, and they start taking money from foreign countries, and then the next month they're cutting deals and contracts from the State Department with the foreign countries, then I will have concern.
Right.
Just like Hillary Clinton was doing. But I'm just looking back in the news, and let's don't forget Qatar, a Middle Eastern country who Hillary Clinton herself admitted funds ISIS, wrote Bill Clinton a birthday check when she was in the State Department. And so, but somehow Tillerson
right.
can't cut a business deal with Russia and other countries, but yeah. Bill Clinton can get a check from Qatar while his wife's
well,
in the
but
State Department.
I have to say, in defense of President Clinton, they sent me a birthday check too. So, I think they're just generous that way.
But right. is your wife heading up the State Department?
No, nobody got a birthday check from Qatar except for people who can help them.
Listen, let's be clear. There's a bit of new spin going on right now. You mentioned the word Russia because there's word out there that the CIA has made some kind of assertion that perhaps the Russians were involved in the whole revelation of the email scandal, and that the Russians were out to ensure that Trump won the election, and they were against Hillary Clinton. You know, as Newt Gingrich was interviewed about this morning, this aspect of the story about the Russians being involved possibly with revealing email content, Newt Gingrich makes this point. The Russians didn't write Hillary Clinton's emails. They didn't write John Podesta's emails. So let's keep the focus on the content of the emails, which right. is what people got upset about,
right.
not WikiLeaks or if the Russians were working with WikiLeaks or whatever the case may be. It was the content of the emails. It was where the emails were stored in Hillary Clinton's server in her house.
Yeah,
that's what raised the suspicions with the American electorate, not how that came about.
Mm-hmm. But the potential for some new James Bond thrillers between Russia and the U.S. is just getting me really excited. Huh? That's
right. Yeah, you just
bring back Sean Connery.
You see, hey, don't make me go there. I can imitate Sean Connery.
Go ahead.
No, I don't need to do that. But you know, just the screen where they're downloading the emails, you know, and somebody's coming up the hallway.
Yeah.
Those kind of spy movies.
Yeah.
Listen, I will say this. I don't think any American should be okay if Russia did hack into our system. Okay, that would be a bad thing. But I got to tell you, my personal belief is, I can't prove this, I think the United States probably does some hacking as well. I think we've done some hacking.
Yeah.
And so for the left to be outraged. You know, this is like right from Casablanca.
Right.
You know, the scene where he says, "What? There's gambling going on here. I'm shocked, shocked, shocked."
I knew he couldn't do it.
Right.
To make the assertion that Russia pushed in propaganda into the news cycle in the U.S., who knows? Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. But to say that they hacked the voting machines and somehow switched. People
well, they're
like
not saying that, though, are they?
Yes, they are.
Well, no, there was. The Democrats were out there with that kind of line initially.
Yeah.
But then after the election, and this goes to now the conversation that's been had over the Green Party, Ms. Stein, wanting the recounts. The Democrats, in those three cases, what was it? It's Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. The Democrats even said they went back and checked, and they found nothing unusual. In those supposedly disputed states. So the Democrats are already convinced that everything was okay.
I tell you what's unusual. What's unusual is Hillary Clinton didn't visit Wisconsin. And she lost.
And Barack Obama said that, too.
Yeah. Well, and didn't
or
they do
Iowa.
The,
or Iowa.
Didn't they do
barely
the
went to Michigan.
Recount in Wisconsin, and actually Trump got a few more extra votes through
got
the
a few extra votes. And then
and the Packers got some more points.
On Friday, a judge put an end to the thought of doing a recount in Pennsylvania.
Right.
There's just nothing there.
Yeah. Right.
And it costs money. It costs
bunch
taxpayer
of money.
Dollars.
Well,
but Jill Stein raised a lot of money on a crowdfunding source.
And she just bought a house on the East Coast. I'm just kidding.
Who is Jill Stein anyway?
She was the Green Party candidate.
She's a medical doctor, Green Party candidate, got less than, 1% of the vote or something like that?
Yeah. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues, where we're not, we haven't been hacked by the Russians.
No.
So far.
We would like to be. We would like to be Russians. Please hack us so that we can tell people that we were hacked by the Russians.
Yes.
It just makes for a very interesting story.
There goes the Facebook numbers.
How many people can say that? Yeah, we were hacked by. We were important enough that we were hacked by the Russians.
That's right. We can tell people that. We were, you know, oh, yeah, you think you're popular.
I just want to let Vladimir Putin know my emails are pretty boring. No yoga.
Russians trying
no
to
yoga classes, that's for sure.
The board elections at AFA.
All right, Trivia Friday will be here Friday, right, Ed?
Yes,
but right now, we're back to serious news.
Absolutely,
serious news, and we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got Jeremy Wiggins coming up in about 10 minutes, don't we, Walker?
Yes, sir.
Never know what Jeremy's going to bring to the table. And then Steve Jordahl, Fred's colleague with American Family News, will be here in a few minutes. Now, we've talked about, we're talking about Donald Trump and we've got a situation in Louisiana that impacts the United States Senate because Donald Trump will need, you know, the Republicans in the Senate to carry the water for his programs, his policies that he wants to initiate. He'll need to want to work with them. So you need a majority. Right now, it was, or at least up until Saturday, it was 51-48 Republicans in the United States Senate. What happened Saturday, Fred?
On Saturday, there was a runoff. They have this way of doing things in Louisiana, runoff between the top two
runoff
candidates.
Runoff is not a word that Louisianians want to hear right now.
No, especially Baton Rouge and those areas.
Yeah, they don't like the term of runoff. But they had a runoff, right?
Had a runoff, and the Louisiana state treasurer for the last 16 years, John Kennedy, won that runoff easily. Donald Trump went down to campaign for him on Friday. They had a big rally down there. And really was a very low-profile campaign, not much said about it at all. Mr. Kennedy, 65 years old, was his third try for the Senate. He's taking the seat, I guess, of Mr. Vitter, who decided not to run again. And he is a conservative along the lines of Mr. Trump. He doesn't like the Obamacare, treaties that expand trade with other countries, and appointing anyone to the U.S. Supreme Kennedy whose political views are not in line with the late Justice Antonin Scalia. So he is of that fabric.
So that is the – so that's 52-48 split in the Senate. And you can control the Senate if it's 50-50 as long as your party has the presidency and vice presidency, because the vice president presides over the Senate when he's there and can cast a tie-breaking vote.
Will he be sworn in immediately?
I would think that – you're talking about Kennedy here?
Yeah.
I think that he would be sworn in with the new
– Congress.
With the new Congress, the new yes. Yeah.
Okay, this is coming up in a few weeks then.
Right.
When they had the – okay, I got you.
Yeah.
That's interesting that the Republicans will have a 52-48 majority. So Donald Trump should get all these judges through,
mm-hmm.
right?
If they go to the 51 votes,
yes.
Oh, they're going to.
If they don't go to the suit, need the suit.
You know who
majority.
Said that? You know who said that the other day? What we're talking about, folks, is that you know that we've all familiar with the filibuster, where the minority party in the U.S. Senate can block everything by just using a filibuster. And filibuster is not what the as Brian Fisher's talked about, and not what the Constitution. Know what our founding fathers, they intended, if you're going to filibuster, you stand up there and read something for ever how long.
You speak.
Like Ted Cruz did.
You speak. You read something. Yes. Mm-hmm. You have a legitimate filibuster. You don't just dial it in, phone it in, so to speak, say, hey, we're filibustering, and not have to do anything
right?
Physically to show that you're committed to your filibuster. Well, the Democrats, Harry Reid, I'm sorry to bring that name up again, even though he's retired. He and the Democrats were the ones who changed the rules for voting for federal judges. Now, not the Supreme Court. They are federal judges. But I'm talking about underneath the Supreme Court, the votes on all those judges, the Democrats changed the rules to allow just a simple majority,
mm-hmm.
which personally I'm in favor of.
I am too.
And now the question is, if the Democrats choose to filibuster a Supreme Court nominee for Donald Trump because he's pro-life, then will the Republicans have the guts to say, you know what, Democrats, we're changing the rules just like you guys did. And from now on, a simple majority is all you need for a Supreme Court justice.
Because you have to have 60 votes in the Senate.
That's
to
ridiculous.
To force a vote on a judge. And so what that does is if, like the Democratic Party in this case, is filibustering, they're basically telling the Republicans, if you want to vote on this candidate, you've got to somehow scrape up 60 votes mm-hmm. in
That's
order
impossible.
To have what's a cloture vote, and that means you're gonna make sure that a vote comes. But now, if with federal judges, not the Supreme Court, as you said, just 51 votes is enough to shut down debate and force a vote. And
I tell you what, what's likely to happen that we never thought we'd see this in our lifetime. And we may not, but I think we probably will. I think the chances are 60-40. You're going to see a situation in the next 4 or 5 years where Roe versus Wade may be overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And the laws regarding abortion, as they were prior to 1973, returned to the states.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Because here's the reason, and this is what the left is freaking out about, Planned Parenthood and all these the pro-abortion side. Donald Trump, one of his main campaign promises, Walker, was I'm going to appoint pro-life judges to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, and I mean this again as a compliment, it's going to sound like a criticism, but it's a compliment. Donald Trump did not know enough not to say that.
Right.
He said on the record to the world, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges. You're not supposed to say that. Okay?
This is tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, what I mean. I'm being tongue-in-cheek. To his credit, he did say it out loud and in the open. And I think that's why so many Christians, Fred, and then Walker, you can come in on this. I think that's why so many Christians in the end ended up voting for Donald Trump in overwhelming numbers, is because that was one of the main reasons, not the only reason. But they said, you know what? If a guy's going to be gutsy enough to go on the record and say, I'm going to appoint pro-life judges to the Supreme Court, that's the kind of guy I'm going with.
No question about it. That was that statement from Donald Trump came in the last debate. Chris Wallace of Fox News was the moderator. He asked the question with regards to who you would appoint. Donald Trump, and I remember watching it that night, and I was shocked.
That's what I mean.
I was shocked that he was that honest about it.
Right.
It was wonderful.
I think that was the turning point in the election.
Yeah, some say that was it.
Many people said that.
That's my belief.
My vote.
I read on this show, I read a testimony from a lady who said she was a Christian who was unsure going into that last debate, but when she heard Trump and then saw Hillary's not deny the up to 9-month abortion stance, where Hillary did not defend that, that lady herself said that was a deciding moment for her. But let's go back to the 60 Minute interview after he was elected. He was asked on 60 Minutes, are you going to appoint pro-life judges? And he said, I will appoint pro-life judges because I'm pro-life. And then the interview person said... Leslie Stahl tried to corner him on it and say, you know, well, what about the women who want abortions? Are they going to have to travel to other states? Is it going to be accessible? And he said, it's going to go back to the states, whatever the states decide.
Right.
And she said, well, what about the states who outlaw abortion? He said, well, they'll just have to travel to another state.
If you want an abortion.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was pretty...
He stuck to his guns.
He had been well-versed and well-coached on that and well... And to his credit, he did learn that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brett, I was impressed. I do think you guys are right. I do think, and the numbers show this, that the overwhelming vote, he had to have an overwhelming vote by Christians to win, Ed, and his commitment to the pro-life cause.
Well, that's why I say it's my opinion. This is just my sense from just watching people, hearing people that I know, people that I have read. That moment was a seminal moment when it clicked for a lot of Christians. Yeah. And like you said, Tim, he had to have a overwhelming positive turnout amongst Christians, and they had to go to the polls too.
Yeah,
When people heard him say that, I was actually I'll be like Fred. I was actually stunned that he was that open about it. And the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton was never more clear than, and it was all in the same about 10-15 minute period at the end of the debate when they both gave their views on abortion and on judges. And when Hillary Clinton said, I want judges who understand what it's like to live in America or something like that. And he said, I want judges who follow the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those two issues, I thought that's, for a lot of Christians, I think that was the moment they said, this choice is pretty clear.
Well, it was so refreshing for Republicans who were used to maybe the Jeb Bushes of this world, who they feel would have waffled on that question if he was up on that stage.
Right.
Well, almost all the Republican candidates, I don't think Ted Cruz would have.
Right.
I don't know, Marco Rubio, probably not. But almost I'm talking about the final field of candidates. Most Republicans, they use euphemisms and they couch words and they're very careful. They'll say culture of life instead of I'm against abortion, and which they've been coached on that. And there's nothing wrong being for the culture of life. Donald Trump just said it like it was. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Christians found that refreshing.
Yes.
Bold remarks like that. Even though he had character issues that they disagreed with, they said, you know, if this man's going to be this strong on this issue, and there are other issues that he's really strong on, then, you know, I can forgive the indiscretions of the past, the sins of the past. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, President-elect Trump continues naming his potential cabinet.
I don't think you could get any more conservative a list of cabinet officials than he's picked.
Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano will be joined by newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl to report and respond to the latest. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Hey, our Holy Land tour in March is filling up. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We only go one time a year to Israel, and that's in March. And our tour leaves the 9th and gets back on the 17th. And as I say, we don't have a whole lot of space left on this tour. So if you'd like to go with us and see the Holy Land, you need to give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, with an S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. We'll send you a brochure. Or go online at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, we're going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, all those places and much, much more. So join us on this very special tour of Israel in March.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. The school district in Killeen, Texas, says an employee forced her religious beliefs on students after she decorated a door with a scene from the holiday classic, A Charlie Brown Christmas. I posted a photo at toddstearns.com. The decorations included Linus, a scrawny Christmas tree, and a bit of dialogue explaining what Christmas is all about. Well, the district says that dialogue referenced a Bible verse, and that's against the law. They accused the staffer of imposing her religious beliefs on students. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton tells me the school is the one breaking the law, referring to the Merry Christmas law, stipulating no school officials can silence a biblical reference to Christmas. But the school remains steadfast, and in keeping with their tolerance and diversity, Linus could stay, but the baby Jesus had to go. Somebody's been smoking too much mistletoe. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. This is Today's Issues. It's Monday, December 12th. We're just a couple of weeks out. It's hard to believe, Walker. We're a couple of weeks out from Christmas
and a new year.
And if people want some Christmas cheer, i.e., they want to read about the kind of articles we're discussing here on the program today, how do they do that?
They can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page, or I would encourage people to go to afa.net. We have a blog site called The Stand at afa.net, and this time of year, most of the articles on there are about Christmas. Or have a Christmas theme behind them. So afa.net, or you can visit the Today's Issues Facebook page.
We need to be more tolerant and diverse. Have you not got
Twitter?
Do we have holiday stuff up there?
Yes. Actually, my wife and I were in Birmingham this weekend, and we were, of course, shopping, because that's what my wife loves to do.
Right.
And I was shopping too, and so while she actually shops, I just mosey around the store and look at stuff and see if I can find funny stuff. Well, I found, as we were checking out, I found these napkins, and they all had jokes on them. And one of the napkins said, wishing you a happy whatever doesn't offend you, period. And it had a family like with presents, like right. A perfect family. And there was tons of other napkins. I could have taken pictures of all of them, but that was the funniest one. And I sent it to our group, our family text messaging group.
I don't know what the political left is going to do in this country once they find out that holidays actually means holy day.
Yeah. It does mean that.
I don't know. What do you use after that when they find out that? Where do they go from there?
Molly Day.
Winter.
We're going to have
happy winter.
Happy Molly Day.
Happy winter solstice.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just doesn't have the same ring as Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. It's the most wintry solstice.
It's the most okay time of the year.
Yeah, okay time of the year.
Yep. We don't want the people who are not wonderful to be offended. So it's just it's the most mediocre time of the year.
Jeremy Wiggins here with us, who's failed to be introduced. But good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, guys.
Tell us about your radio show that you have
airs,
on Saturday.
Airs Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. on American Family Radio. It's called In the Trenches.
What do you do on there?
We talk about some stuff.
Talk about stuff, huh?
Talk about stuff.
That's going to get people tuned in right there.
Yeah, I can already tell.
Get up on Saturday morning. But listen to stuff talked about.
And listen to expertly diagnosed
you
stuff.
You podcast that too?
We do.
So if you don't want to get up at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning.
But you still want to listen to stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like stuff, then who doesn't like stuff, really?
So you take culture and politics and
Recap a little bit about what's happened around American Family Radio over the last week, and then we take some time and dive into other subjects. We try to have a little bit of fun.
Yeah. Every once in a while an off-the-wall kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, every once in a while.
All right, well, what do you got for us today?
Well, you guys remember the song, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," right?
Yes.
And you remember in part of it how it talks about a tiny sleigh and eight tiny reindeer?
Yes.
You remember that part? And
right.
Do you, who here knows all of the reindeer's names? Anybody?
I don't.
Mm-mm. No?
That's Dasher.
I'm good to know my kids' names. That's it.
Oh, Jeremy, give us a minute. Just give us 30 seconds.
All right,
seconds.
We could probably do it then.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer. Isn't it Dixon
Comet,
in there somewhere?
Vixen. Comet, Blitzen.
Vixen. Comet, Blitzen.
Vixen.
Comet.
Rudolph.
Rudolph.
That's the ninth. Rudolph is the ninth reindeer.
Okay, so.
Ralph.
Stephen.
John.
Ed.
Billy Bob.
Moses.
Ed.
No, we don't know. We got about seven of them there, though.
You guys did pretty good. Okay. The reason why I bring this up is there's an article out there now that states that it's going to probably take more than eight, possibly nine if Rudolph is attached, reindeer, to deliver Santa's sleighs now because of, wait for it, global warming. Over the last 16 years, the weight of adult reindeer in Svalbard in the Norwegian Arctic has dropped by 12%, meaning that they've gone...
They needed to lose some weight, honestly.
Yeah, they did. They eat a steady diet of all of those cookies and milk that Santa's not eating. But
very, very bad.
The average size of the reindeer, they say, due to global warming, means that the reindeer are shrinking. Not the population of the reindeer, but the actual size of the reindeer are shrinking.
I thought they might need more reindeer just because of EPA regulations or something.
Well, they talk about what cows do to the environment and global warming. I can only imagine I can only imagine, though, what more reindeer. Now, they're saying that the population of reindeers is not decreasing. That's actually increasing. But we're seeing smaller
reindeer.
Smaller, but more reindeer.
Yeah, they're smaller. And by the way, you said reindeers, right? You meant like reindeer, the plural?
Reindeer.
Reindeer.
I guess that's singular and plural.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're getting smaller, but they're getting more efficient. It's like some of these engines.
Like our computers.
Used to need a V8, now you got a V6.
Better hay mileage.
Yes.
Man, you're talking about
HPG.
You're talking about the world problems. Those reindeer keep shrinking. We're going to run out of food.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, there's more. So instead of one, you'll have to maybe drop two or three. You'd have to take Vixen, Cupid, and Donner.
I tell you what, speaking of global warming or climate change, climate change is for people who don't have to explain anything because the climate's always changing. So you don't have to defend the global warming argument. The man-made global warming argument anyway. We got man-made I know what I was going to say. The Trump administration is going to name the EPA.
The new head of the EPA.
Scott Pruitt.
Yeah, Pruitt, the AG from Oklahoma. AG.
I think he's the only person to ever be appointed to a agency that he's currently involved in a lawsuit with.
Against.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a big believer in man-made global warming.
No, he's not. Definitely not. And you know what? This story, we bring it up at jest, but the story reminded me of, Tim, you talked about this hype. Well, do you remember the polar bears? how you would see all of these advertisements on TV about how the polar bears are shrinking, the population is shrinking.
They went on to do great Coke commercials.
Yes. They would show them on a little piece of ice.
Iceberg, yeah.
Oh, the poor thing is, when that thing shrinks, this polar bear is going
to
die.
It's going to have to swim.
Yeah.
But, I found an article on NPR. NPR, not a conservative news outlet.
Right.
How they talked about this guy in 2008, Zach Unger, right? He decided that he'd heard all the hype, and he wanted to go and find out for himself. He was planning on writing a book about the shrinking population of the polar bears. So he and his family moved to Churchill, Manitoba. It's in northern Canada, and it's accessible only by train or plane. And so he said,
like the Polar Express?
Yeah, I guess that would be where the Polar Express went. So he says, when I got up there, I started realizing polar bears were in not as bad a shape as they had led me to believe. But it didn't fit well in the book that I'd been planning on writing. So he talked about how you couldn't walk down the street unarmed because there were all of these polar bears. They had a polar bear hotline, and they talked about on how Halloween your kid couldn't go out dressed in white because the plan for Halloween was you would go out and then one person in your family would be armed. Because the polar bears were so numerous that they will attack people. But that's kind of what reminded me of this reindeer story. See, they went from 48 kilograms is where they're at now. They were 55 kilograms before. So that doesn't seem like a lot of weight. And they are increasing. There's more of them. Mm-hmm. But we just have to have something to complain about.
You know what's hilarious is when you read these headlines – about once a year where you see scientists go to Antarctica to research global warming and their ship gets stuck in the ice. I mean, they're in there going, guys, why did we have to get stuck? We're up here researching global warming and we get stuck in the ice because it's too thick.
Well, you know, Al Gore.
Oracle.
Yeah, Al Gore.
Inventor of the internet.
What was it, about 6 or 7 years ago? He predicted that within 5 years the polar ice cap would melt.
Would be melted.
Remember that?
Yeah.
In fact, it was not in his film documentary, An Inconvenient Truth? You know, he's made a second one.
Yeah.
Inconvenient Truth. More inconvenient truths, I guess.
Obama years ago was talking about the water level in the ocean.
Well, he stopped
going down.
Remember, he personally stopped the rising of the water.
The rising levels. Of the seas would begin to recede.
History will record that this is the moment. We're talking about President Obama's acceptance speech. He said that he would be able to cause the ocean levels to cease to rise, right?
Yeah, and the Earth would begin to heal itself.
The Earth would begin to heal. Somebody needs to do a post-8-year Obama administration interview with the president and ask him, has, in fact,
he just blamed the Republicans for standing in the way.
So the Earth has not begun to heal.
You know, I'm not a scientist, folks. But, you know, I look at the way that God designed our Earth. And I look at the way that the Earth itself changes. Like we talked about, climate changes. Things change.
Right.
This is all part of his design. And it's so spectacular, and we should be awestruck when we look at this creation that God has placed us on. And we
if you could explain to people why the global warming / climate change social and political agenda most domestically and internationally exist, and why I know that people make fun, or we even have a good, you know, a laugh at these people. They really, some of them genuinely believe that there is man-made global warming. And some people say, well, if there is global warming, it's a natural cycle of the Earth. It's not man-made. Well, but that's on the sort of scientific, on a more serious note, a lot of people subscribe to the idea, and I'm one of them, that that a lot of these folks who are pushing are pushing man-made global warming as a reality, they really want, they're globalist, and they really want to control capitalism primarily, i.e. the United States of America, and they want to control our economy and our way of life. And if you can use global warming or climate change to impose regulations mm-hmm. on the American economy to the point where it's stifling and hurting us, mm-hmm. then you can begin to impose socialistic ideas, right. maybe even laws, through regulations or through legislation. They're not going to get a lot of legislation.
It's all about fear. They try to.
They use fear to control. Right. I mean, that's not a new phenomenon in mm-hmm. modern.
So you're saying there's a scientific debate that's going on, but yes. then there's a political angle.
Oh, yeah.
Where people are trying to use
mass transit.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think we could take it even one step further than that. You know, okay.
And that's serious. That's a serious, excuse me if you interrupt you, Jared. Mm-hmm. That's a serious issue, Ed.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I'm just talking about.
I think every person here can agree that we are charged to be good stewards of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just as a general statement, we,
you know, talking about Christians who believe the Bible.
Christians, and, you know, we shouldn't be going out back and taking our barrel of toxic sludge and dumping it in our backyard and then throwing fish in it, you know. Right. But so I think we can all agree that we are to be good stewards over God has charged us with taking care of this earth. But I think also on the flip side of the coin, we can go a step further. You know, Tim, you talked about the social political, but I think for a lot of these people, it's a religion.
That's
and
a good point.
I mm-hmm. think we can see that squarely in Romans where Paul says that people have come to worship the creation rather than the creator. And all of these are, you know, you brought up the social political, but I think you look at like issues of population control, not just at the UN level, but here in America and Planned Parenthood, they want less people. And so you see very hand in hand these groups with Planned Parenthood, assisted suicide, the Hemlock Society. Mm-hmm. All of these groups are tied together, and I really think it's all about less people here on the planet, like trying to get Earth back to a pre-human, in their minds, pre-human,
yeah.
Pristine society. So yeah. It's a lot further, I think.
Here's why I don't think these people really deep down believe it. I think, I'm not talking about the political or even the religious angle. To them, it's a stepping stone to, like Tim, like you said, globalization, socialism. Here's why I don't think they actually believe this. If you really thought that the future of the planet and the future of humanity was at stake, all right, then you would be out there saying, we need to no more ball games at night. No more malls open at night. That's burning way too much fossil fuels. You would begin to call for all these things. And you know what? You wouldn't fly to Copenhagen to give a speech. You would just say, we just need a teleconference or something like that. Mm-hmm. These people, this is a money-making machine for them. If we found out there was a meteor headed for Earth and humanity could perish at an extinction-level debate event, we'd be pulling out all the stops because humanity was threatened. That's why I don't believe these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the political. I'm sure the scientists.
You mean who, like Al Gore and others who were pushing this stuff?
They would be saying no movies at night.
Okay, they're not really willing to push things that the American people would not accept. They're going to go for their controlling businesses.
Yes, that's right. That's why government. I don't think they really believe humanity's at stake.
And I think a lot of them, I think it does go along with pantheism. A lot of the pantheistic worldview and the environmental worldview, I'm talking about the environmental extremists, so to speak, not the people that are for clean air and clean water like we are, every common sense person is, but I'm talking about the people you're talking about. It is linked. And the global warming, the crowd. It's interesting. A lot of these, I think a lot of these political liberals and celebrity liberals who push this, they just need a reason to get up every morning because they mm-hmm. don't know God Almighty, and so they don't live for Him. So they need something to do besides just sing.
You don't have Leonardo DiCaprio, who's a big, you know, man-made
Hollywood
global
star.
You don't have him saying, folks, stay home at night. Do not go to my movies because that's using too much electricity at night.
Right.
We need to burn candles. You stay huddled in your homes because human existence is at stake.
That's why you shouldn't take an actor's view on it. You ever sat through credits before and seen how many people are actually a part of one movie?
Right. Yeah.
And you got to think, those people had to get to work every day, and a lot of them weren't in the same city or
making the movie.
Yeah, just
they just
the
need a cause.
They need something to give life meaning and purpose, a lot of them.
And make money.
A lot of them, I don't know if Leonardo DiCaprio, the actor, is one of these people, but we've all read the stories where they get on television or hold these press conferences alarming us to climate change and man-made global warming and how we're all going to burn or the seas are going to rise 6 inches globally. And then they're off to their resort island in the Caribbean on their private jet.
Leonardo DiCaprio, I think the last climate event he was involved in Europe, flew out there, gave a speech.
On a private jet?
flew back to New York to receive some award, then flew back.
That means
to the
he doesn't
conference.
Really believe it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched?
It just makes them cool in the eyes of their peers.
Right.
It was Dave Matthews, I think, who was another one of these guys, Dave Matthews Band. He got called out in an interview and he was basically like, no, I'm not talking about for me. I have to do this.
Right.
Yeah. They think the end justifies the means. So if they need to break their own moral code to get their moral code implemented, then that's fine.
I know.
If they need to fly on the jet to tell other people not to fly on the jet, then that's a different story.
The funniest story I remember about this was, this is 30 years ago, I remember reading when all this first started, was how, and I can't verify this story, but it's if it isn't true, it should be. that is Barbara Streisand, who's another Hollywood liberal elitist global warming. She was doing an interview with some newspaper, and she was recommending that America move more to mass transit. And then the reporter said, she had to leave the interview because she was taking her RV across town to get her hair done. I mean, it was the limousine liberal hypocrisy.
They own three or four homes. Al Gore owns multiple homes. And, they're nine bathrooms. These things are lit up at night. And I'm just sitting there going, listen, if you really thought the human race was at stake, you wouldn't be doing this.
But what's more frustrating or sad than Al Gore himself doing this stuff and raising money off of it? Is the students, the college-age students that go to his rallies and give him money. I mean, they're so naive and believe. Right. I mean, he's just one part of the problem. Really, the fact that he has people attending these conferences and paying him money for this is even a larger problem.
I think a lot of these people, they just need a reason to exist. It's a natural human instinct to need a cause. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want something to believe in, so to speak. And so these people, they don't believe in God.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. I was just sitting here thinking about that. You know, they don't believe in the Lord. They don't believe in God. They have set up something else, which is our natural human default position to do.
Right.
Whether it's ourselves, whether it's money, our
gonna
children,
worship
our spouse.
Something.
Yeah, we are going to worship something, and they do not have the Lord. They do not have Jesus Christ at the center of their heart, who is Lord over all of their over
so
their
what
life.
Gives them purpose?
So they have to find a purpose.
Yeah, they have to
in
find a purpose.
Else.
So it's usually some far left cause that all their friends are going to pat them on the back for.
Well, something they can receive attention for, something they can make a buck off.
You start
off
standing
of.
For the Ten Commandments, you're not accepted in Hollywood. That's not a cause we're standing for. Ask Kirk Cameron. Mm. You know,
that's
kick you out of their little party. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, are you going to be able to get the story that
Jeremy
talked about on our
Facebook page?
Because it's going to be the reindeer story.
The shrinking reindeer story.
A lot of
story.
People are going to be wanting that. So we have a Today's Issues Facebook page, and Walker is going to be posting all the stories that we talk about today on that Facebook page for Today's Issues. Jeremy Wiggins joins us each Monday from 10:30 to 11 Central Time. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Now, We got the polar vortex come bearing down on us later this week, don't we? It did last week. Nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Nothing was worse than a polar vortex coming.
No, a polar bear vortex is way worse than
That's probably true. A polar bear.
Polar bears
invading? They're shrinking. So I think they're about the size of cats now, aren't they? So, I mean, I'm not worried about the polar bear invasion.
You got a polar vortex, but anyway, it sounds ominous, doesn't it?
It does.
If I'm a meteorologist on Weather Channel, I'm not calling it, hey, we got some cold weather coming down from Canada. That does not move people.
Polar vortex. Here's
the USA Today headline. I just looked it up.
Okay.
Snowstorm exits New England as polar vortex reloads for another assault.
You know,
that is a great headline.
Yes.
Right,
I'm clicking right there. I'm finding out where it's going to assault. Because I'm going to defend my home.
It's going to kick your door down and snow all over your living room.
Oh, my word.
You know, and this is saying polar vortex bringing frigid temperatures to Canada and the U.S. So, apparently, we've got this coming all the way into the
Tell
U.S.,
it to stop
including
in,
the South
in Missouri.
It's Canada's fault. That's what I hear is what you're saying, is it's Canada's fault.
Well, isn't everything? Now that Fred Jackson has left and gone across the street.
It's all Canada's fault. It's Canada.
But it's just these global warming conferences are usually ill-timed.
Kicking off right about now.
They'll probably have a press conference in Chicago.
All I want to avoid is freezing rain. I don't care about the cold weather.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'd care if it was 20 below, but I don't want freezing rain, and that's always
for nobody.
Possible.
You wouldn't wish that on your worst enemy.
I wouldn't. No, absolutely not.
Your worst enemy. We won't name them.
I have no enemies.
You know, there's some parts of this country that they get so much snow. I saw a picture on Facebook the other day. It was I had to look twice because it was a lady's front door, and it was standing wide open, but there was an imprint of her doorknob and her house number in the snow wall that had formed where her front door should be. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's just where you go back in and you take your shoes off and you say, I ain't going into work today.
In New England, we had a couple of snowstorms.
You grew up
like
there, right?
That. Didn't go all the way to the top of the door, but halfway. And that was always a bad day because that meant, yes, I was off school, but I was going to spend it shoveling.
Really?
Shovel the whole driveway and the walk to our front door, chip the ice with this blade that's on a handle.
So that wasn't fun?
No, it was not.
Oh, you wanted to go to school.
I'd rather go to school.
Mom, I think I can swim to school. I've got my sled. I think I can make it.
No joke, when I went to college, my freshman year at Boston College, my dad bought a snowblower. And I said, why did you
just
wait until after I left? He said, well, you were here. He said, I had a snow removal system. He said, then you left and I wasn't going to shovel it.
I'm not going to shovel it. It's got to get done and you ain't doing it anymore.
Okay. Ed grew up in the Boston area. Jeremy grew up in South Bend.
Northern Indiana.
Walker and I are Mississippi boys, so we have no ID.
You just talk about snow in the third person.
We just like talking about it.
We like hearing
these stories from you guys who've survived these winters.
You talk about snow like we were just talking about man-made global warming. It's all theoretical to
me.
You
know somebody who's been impacted by it, but you yourself have not experienced it.
We get 2 inches
like
down
Bigfoot.
Here, and everybody's canceling school for the week.
All the milk and bread is gone.
That's what's hilarious.
People from the north who moved down to the deep south, especially, they do laugh and mock and jeer.
What's up with all the milk and bread going? Who buys all the milk and bread and anything?
I think people are supposed to survive off cereal.
Milk and bread. Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness.
Milk sandwiches.
You know, we may get 2 inches of snow. Well, you know all the milk and bread are going to be gone.
That's right.
Because you'll never be able to get it again. Ever.
All the cows are going to die.
They're all going to die. So it's going to be, it's like milk and bread. You know, it's like everybody has this milk and bread faction.
Why milk and bread? I've never gotten that.
I think it's just because you don't have to have electricity to cook. In other words, you can make sandwiches and drink milk. That's the only thing I can figure out.
Ed, when you were younger,
did you ever,
when it got so cold outside, if you had a big party or something, you wouldn't put it in the fridge. You'd just stick it outside in the snow.
Good. Stick it in the snow.
That's where all the beverages would go on Christmas
that's right.
Eve. You'd stick it outside the back door because no room in the
fridge.
You
want a drink? Go out front.
Yeah,
that's
go out back.
Take your boots off when you come back in.
Man. All right. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeremy, one more other question. What's the most snow you've ever seen?
Oh,
It's hard to remember?
At least up to my...
In South Bend.
Between my knee and my waist, and I'm really? 6 foot tall, so...
Wow. So a lot.
The snowstorm of 1978, 8 feet of snow fell
on
New England.
Really?
Wow.
8 feet?
8 feet, 12 feet in Buffalo.
That's dangerous.
Oh, man.
It was dangerous.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.